in our new bodies.
And people are praying for his justice to be done. That is the context for the question. Will you and I stay as people of faith even when God doesn't answer our injustice in a timely manner or in a manner which we want? Will we still have faith in God? 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness." Listen to this. "He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Dear ones, those people who make you so angry you want to spit, God wants to reconcile them to himself. Not everybody will. We know that. We understand not everybody will, but that's not our call. What we are doing is we're praying for justice in a situation. We cry out day and night to a father who loved us, not a judge who's indifferent and doesn't care about us. It's a loving father who says, "I'm going to answer that prayer at a time that is appropriate for the situation. Trust me." So what God is doing, this is the end of the message, what God is doing through injustice is he's allowing us to grow up. We are not, we talked about last week, you give one child a cookie, you give the other two. "That's not fair, it's not fair, that's not fair." Too often we are like those children. "It's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair." And God's going, "You need to be growing up a little bit more. Life's not fair. If life was fair, I'd be 6'5", 220, making $6 million a year playing for the San Francisco Giants. I'm 5'10", a little bit more than two, and I sure can't play for the Giants. Really? Really? Got the best wife in the world. And that wasn't my wife who just went whistled. No. I do, amen, but life's not fair. I said I do, the best wife in the world. But I'm going back to, I wish I was a baseball player for the Giants, making $6 million a year living in those. For your own reference, we don't have time. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 22, where the Bible says, look at Abraham's faith. Be like that. Wasn't perfect. But sometimes we go, "Man, I can't be like Jesus. I mean, Jesus was just Jesus." Yeah, but the Bible says sometimes we need a human, just fully human person, mimic their faith because he's the father of our faith. Secondly, James gives us this thought. What's my part? What's God's part? And what's their part? And he uses the idea in verses 7, 10, and 11, a farmer, the prophets, and Job. So we understand farming up here, I believe, right? So a farmer, he prepares the soil, he plants the seed, he can't control the weather. So the farmer could do everything right, but if there's no rain, there's no harvest. What's the farmer's part? What's God's part? God's part is to provide the weather so that the seed will grow. And understand when we're dealing with justice, it's not just always them. What is my part in that? How did I respond to this? The prophets, when they spoke the word of God, God didn't say, "If they don't repent, you're in trouble." Their role was to speak the word of the Lord, but it was not the prophet's response, prophet's responsibility to how the people responded. And we look at through the Old Testament, "Thus saith the Lord, the Lord says to thee, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord." And the people went, "Psh, stone him. Kill them, get rid of them, shut them up." It wasn't the prophets, God wasn't holding the prophet responsible that the people shut him down. And then Job, if you read his story, what did Job do to cause such pain? Nothing. He didn't do anything. Job wasn't responsible for the boils. He wasn't responsible for his friends going, "You got sin in your life, we all know it." He wasn't responsible for his wife saying, "Just curse God and die, get it over with." Didn't have a wife like mine, obviously. So here's the point. When you're dealing with injustice, don't take responsibility that's God's or the other person's. You own your own responsibility. "You make me so mad. If you hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have said that." No, that was your choice. That was your decision to say what you said. "Oh yeah, well you said," see, we blame. We go back to Adam and Eve. We blame somebody else. "You made me, you should have, you would have." No, don't be a victim to somebody else. You have the power and the authority in Christ, even in injustice, to say, "I still have a part to play in this." What do I do? Pray, process, talk to God, give it into his hand. Is it easy? No, but it's the way in which Jesus teaches how to deal with injustice. There's more, but this is where we're at now. Let's just do that first and see where it leads us. And then James says, stand firm. In verse 8, stand firm then, Because the Lord has come, the Lord's coming is near. You see how he keeps coming back to this. 1 Thessalonians 3, may he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his angels. See, James once again points to us. Here's the thing. How do we maintain joy and peace in the midst of all injustice? Let me say one. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming. Are you going to stand up and shout? Good. Soon. Spiritual group over there. Jesus is coming soon. It could be today. It could be like, Jesus is coming. I wish it was slow. It sounds like a twinkling of an eye. I wish it was just like going up yonder. And we're just slowly going up and we're rising. Hey, Jeff, you made it. Yeah. You got the joke. Why is that important? Think about even the songs we sang today, where your imagination went to, we shall dance on the streets that are golden. You got to think about this, guys. This will not last forever. The injustice is not forever. Even if it's your whole life, it is not forever. And the Bible keeps getting us to this point. Think a little bit different. Think a little bit higher. Think a little bit longer that Jesus is coming soon, where all injustices will be judged. And how do you keep your heart pure? Jesus is coming soon. Then what happens? Then you start thinking, well, if he's coming soon, I need to be holy in this situation. Teach me, Lord, how to walk through this in holiness and righteousness. Teach me, because you are coming soon, that person is not my enemy. The reward you have for me is greater than the injustice the person gave me. Think about it. We'll look upon his face. Do you think when we see Jesus face to face, we're going to say, you know, Bill, he stole from me. And I'm just a little bit angry right now. You know, Jesus, oh, my boss was a jerk. I worship you. Do you see why this is important? Paul says this, and it's 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, and I'm not going to quote it well, but he says this, you can read it yourself. The Lord will descend with the shout of an archangel. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And forever we will be with him. And Paul ends by saying, now, encourage each other with these words. When you're facing injustice and it's not fair and we get, it's not right. Right. Hey, be encouraged. It's not like suck it up. It's be encouraged. Dear ones, this isn't lasting forever. Hebrews 10:25. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some of the habit of doing. Why? That you may encourage each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. See how it keeps going back to the eternal? Do you see how it keeps moving? We're not just trying to get more numbers in a building. We're trying to gather a group of family that says, how can we encourage each other because Jesus is coming soon? Jesus, he's coming soon. And the reason he hasn't come yet, he's patient, not wanting any to perish. If you are here today and you hear the words, Jesus is coming soon, and it doesn't excite you, that's an indicator where you're at with God. Because we are anticipating his coming, but it's not only that, we're not just sitting around on our thumbs going, Jesus, come. We are living for Christ in a world that needs to know he's coming soon. Let me be done. James goes on to be careful what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above, looking down at you. Okay. Sunday School, Assemblies of God, 1969. With the flannel graph of Jesus parting the water. Come on, you guys got, anybody remember that? The flannel graphs? You know, and here's, they're casting the net. Awesome. That was high tech. That was high tech when I was a kid, right? It was awesome. Flannel graphs. Let's bring them back. That and rotary dial phones. Let's do it. It'll work. Grumble means to feel pressure from what is coming on. It means to sigh or to groan. It's not like a sigh. I do this 2 or 3 times a day. In the middle of the day, I'll just go, I'm going to reset. This is like a, oh, jeez. That just, a, golly, what an idiot. I just, God, you need, oh, that's the groaning. You're sighing and groaning because of the pressure of the injustice, and you're going, shraka, fraka, knacka, whacka. And it's not tongues again. It's not like a lot. It's Christian profanity. Shaka, whacka, laka, knacka, you know. Sorry, there's no such thing as Christian profanity, but I'll just let it go right there. James says, do not grumble. What isn't working in our time, we can begin to grumble and complain and miss out on what God is doing. And impatience with God often leads to impatience with God's people. And it's sin. We're not strengthening our inner thoughts. Instead, we're revealing our inner thoughts through grumbling. And James says this, the one true judge is at the door. The idea is that the judge is reaching for the handle of your heart and he's about to step in. And James goes this, your words are going to reveal your heart. And God is not going to allow you to let bitterness, resentment, anything that would hold in your heart, God is not going to allow that to happen. So the judge isn't going to be like waiting. He's going to be like, nope, we're going to deal with that right now. Why? Because he doesn't want his children to be filled with bitterness, anger, and rage. He wants his children to walk in freedom that comes from dealing with injustice correctly. So God isn't going to be patient on this one. He's not going to say, yeah, just go ahead, grumble a little bit. Go ahead, cuss him out. Yeah, that was a good one. Never thought of that one. God is going to go after the heart because the words always express your heart. I don't care what you say you believe. Your words will always express what your heart is. And so the judge is standing right there. Bam. Now, isn't it great? It's mercy. He's not kicking. He's not pounding. He's not stomping. He's opening the door. He's right there. He's going to go after your heart because you're grumbling. That's revealing your heart. And instead of celebrating, rejoicing that God is working, your heart is filled or can be filled with bitterness and rage. I got to judge that. And I'm grateful he does. And then last, James says, during injustice, it's easy to say things you don't mean in verse 12. And we can even make bargains or oaths to God. God, if you just let me escape this, I promise you I'll never sin again. How'd that work out for you? Have you done that? Make an oath, making a bargain? God, if you do this, and I'll do, just get me out of it. God, and I promise I'll go to church twice a month, God. And that might be a big deal for some. But when he says, don't swear, we don't have to back up our relationship with God with oaths or swearing. The word swearing means to take something that's sacred and use that, grasp that, to prove I'm sincere in what I'm saying. And I've heard people say stuff like this, I swear on my grandmother's grave. I swear on my children's head. I've heard people say, I swear to God. And James is going, what? You're taking something that's sacred and holy, and you're using that as a common thing to try to prove something, an oath or a bargain. And James says this, listen, we should be such people of truth that our yes is yes and our no is no. Anything else is sin. Yes. But injustice has this way of squeezing our hearts. I believe that injustice is one of the, if you want to grow in God, experience injustice and do it God's way, you will zoom in your Christianity. Because your human nature, your sinful nature is revenge. God's nature is forgive. You got to be kidding me. No, it's not saying it's right. It's freeing you from, oh man, I'm doing really well. Hi, Gwen. I might have shared this before, but let me just finish with this thought. And it has this idea of releasing people from the injustice. So the Romans they were brilliant when it came to killing people. They were really good. They invented multiple ways to kill people. And one of the ways in which Josh, would you come here for a moment? So let's say, I would never, in front of people, harm you.
Wow. That's a great confession.
Isn't it though? Okay. So, I have unjustly harmed and killed Josh. Okay? And one of the ways that the Romans meted out justice was that this Josh is now a dead body. And what they did, see, he's looking pretty stiff there. What the Romans would do is they would tie myself to the corpse. And so, arm to arm, back to back, leg to leg, I now am bound to Josh, and this was a form of punishment. Now, just think about life. Think about everyday life. How's that working out, right? And here's the other thing. As Joshua began to decay, live flesh to dead flesh over time would begin to eat into my body. And sorry to be gross, but this is reality. We'd be in the sun, the heat of that, maggots, disease, everything would be attached. And eventually, his death comes into my life. And now his death, my body begins to bloat. My body begins to convulse. And I die a horrible death. Why? Because they tied you to the dead person. And you can't escape him. So when injustice happens, we want to tie ourselves to the event. They deserve, they deserve, they deserve. But what forgiveness does is says, I release you and I release me. Now I'm trusting the righteous judge and I'm trusting the righteous judge. But as long as I hold on to this dead thing in my life, and that, I love Josh, he's the most joy-filled man I know. As long as I hold on to this, when I see that person I remember, when I regret, there's sorrow, there's anger, as long as I hold on to this, the dead person is going to kill me. And it won't be tomorrow, it won't be in a day, it won't be in a few hours. It's because we haven't let it go. So Jeff talked about it. Maybe you've been in a church where, all the death that you carried, it'll kill you spiritually. When we forgive, we deal with the emotion, and maybe next week we'll deal with that. But what we're doing is we're untying ourselves from what caused us death. And we're allowing you, righteous judge, deal with him and deal with me. But I'm not going to carry a dead situation on my shoulders the rest of my life. Thank you, Josh. Thanks, Josh.
Josh, just again, this is important because I think this is your freedom for some of you. So Mike and Josh are connected. You're praying and interceding, Lord, bring justice into my life. And God will not move because he has to judge both righteously. So as long as you keep yourself bound through unforgiveness or ignorance or suppression or whatever, you will not experience, you will actually prolong that patience and persevering nature that God called us to in an unrighteous manner. And so forgiveness, so the term forgiveness actually meant severing and cutting free so that God can do exactly what Pastor Mike just expressed, is God can righteously judge here and righteously judge here. And what we deal with a lot is recognizing you've got to let, hey buddy, you've got to let this go, not because it's there's justice and it's okay, or, you know, what they did was right. We're not saying that. That's correct. Not what God is saying. What he's saying is, if you want to see my judgment, I need you to recognize that whatever I bring on this, if you're still attached to it, it'll come on you as well.
Right.
Amen?
Stay. No, stay, Jeff. Stay. Josh, stay.
Thanks, guys. You guys are great. Thank you.
We speak life over you. Life. So let's respond to this. Well, that was so long ago. Then why is it still fresh to you? Well, they're dead now, but you still bring it up over and over again. Why? Hey, we will dance on the streets that are golden. You know, and you're dancing with a corpse. Right? You're dancing with dead people. And they might not be here, but they're right here. So let's pray. Father, bring to memory right now if there's any death that we're embracing. Right now, bring it to our memory. And we want it severed, but you won't sever it for us. We have to partner with you in righteous judge to release forgiveness.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you guys have anything?
Come on. No. Yeah. And Lord, again, for those of you who have said it before, but it comes to mind, I forgive them. Just say it again.
Yeah.
Lord, I forgive them.
Yeah.
Lord, I recognize you to be the righteous judge, and I forgive them, and I trust you with them, and I trust you with me. I forgive them.
Yeah.
And every time we say it, it's like we put a little bit more space in between that situation, that person, that issue, and ourselves, to where, again, that space can be filled with the grace and goodness of God. So we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you. And Father, I would pray that, Lord, not only for our own lives are we active in this faith and in this truth, but that, Lord, we would go and begin to help others.
Amen.
That we'd begin to be the spokesman.
Amen.
And the voice and the active born-again believer, sons and daughters, who are we're able to show others the power of forgiveness.
Amen.
So that they can experience the blessing of a righteous judge.
Amen.
Because so many are caring and are aware of the injustice. But because of their attachment to the offense,
yes,
our righteous judge sits with love and watches, not without compassion or conviction or desire, but because that which he judged must be right.
Right.
And so, Lord, teach us to be the spokesmen, the sons and daughters who bring the message of forgiveness.
Right. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah. So let's close. The Bible tells us that everyone is being judged by the Father right now. And so, Mike, life's working out pretty well for me. That's his mercy. But he will judge those things that will keep you from a relationship with him. Right? He never takes off love, but he will judge, and then eventually one day we'll all stand before him. And we're all going to be judged by the creator of the universe. Now, thankful, remember, Christ took our punishment of sin upon himself, but we will still have to give an account for our lives. Now, here's the thing. Well, Mike, I don't believe that, so I'm good. Well, I can say I don't believe in gravity. How's that going to work out for me when I leap off? Just because I don't say I believe it doesn't mean it's not real. And what I want is, what kind of judgment do you want God to bring on your life right now? You get to choose. With the measure you use, it's going to be measured back to you. Do you want mercy? Then give mercy. If you want wrath, you get to measure it out. It's a lot of power. So would you stand with us? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right? You will stand and give an account for that. If you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you know what he has to say, he's judging you right now. If you're not living that, he's judging you right now. If you're saying, Mike, I'm doing really well, then he's judging you right now. See, it's his mercy. It's allowing him to remove anything that would keep us from an intimate relationship with God. And if you find anything in your heart that, yes, it's something stopping me, then we repent. Repent doesn't mean I'm sorry and I go on doing it. Repent means, go, I understand what you're saying about it, and I'm going to shift the way in which I live. I'm going to take steps to saying, I'm not going to walk in a way anymore that's going to harm our relationship. So if that's you, talk to the Father about that right now. We got 2 minutes. Close your eyes. Talk to the Father right now. Do it. Holy Spirit, bring to mind anything that would bring, that needs to be judged. Judge us, Lord. Judge us, Lord. Judge us, Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for your patience. Love is patient. Love is kind. Thank you for that. But you're standing at the door. You're reaching for the handle. Anything, Lord, that would keep us from a more intimate relationship with you. We welcome you. Come in. Come in. So if there was anything there, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Lift your hands to the Lord as you're giving that to him. You're just giving it to him and saying, Lord, here it is. This is all I know right now. This is what you show me. I'm giving it to you right now because you have judged me in mercy, and I'm responding with repentance. I'm giving that back to you. Just go ahead and lift your hands to the Lord and just say, God, I give it to you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, you, the righteous judge, you said, you said through Jesus, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Again, here's that phrase, when he comes back. Here's that phrase over and over. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming back. I'm coming. And so you ask, will you find faith on the earth when I come back? And Lord, when it comes to injustice, let us be a people who believe you. Even after it's over and it didn't turn out anywhere well like you thought, we still trust you in that injustice to make it even better than what we asked for. Because that's what you promised, working all things together for the good to those who love you and are called according to your purposes. We trust, Lord, even after the season's over, we still stay in that place of faith because we know, God, you're not done working ever. So we trust you in Jesus' name. Can you say yes and amen?
Amen.
Do you have anything else? Anything else? Okay, God bless you guys.